Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
Well, good evening, everyone. Great to see you all on this Saturday night. And it's warm again. And the no-see-ums are back. So I'm not very happy. No, it's okay. They're less than they were last week, you know, before the cold spell. So I'm okay, you know. I only got like 4 bites yesterday, which isn't too bad. I must have nice sweet blood or something, you know. Amen. Well, it really is great to be with you guys. Thank you so much for coming out on a Saturday night. It's wonderful to see the church so packed out like this. Amen. I'm really excited about tomorrow. Don't miss tomorrow. I'm going to be preaching about what happens to you when you die. And I think it's going to be really good. Hopefully you're going to go to the right place. Amen. And so it'll probably be a 2-part series. Tomorrow I'll be doing part 1. And then next time I'll do part 2. So come out for that. I believe it's going to be great. I'm going to be talking about what happened to the Old Testament saints when they died. Where are they now? All kinds of questions like that you may have that I believe will help you. You know, it's interesting because we grow up with a lot of different things that we hear growing up. And a lot of the things that we hear actually doesn't come from the Bible. And so we base what we believe on things that we've heard, but it's not actually scriptural. So it's important that we know what the Bible has to say about life after death. So we'll dive into that tomorrow. But I'm excited about the word I have for you this evening as well. I'm going to be entitling this word, Reach for the Prize. Reach for the Prize. At least that's what it is right now. We'll see what happens. You know, if you study the life of Paul, you will find out that Paul is an interesting character who wrote approximately 2/3 of the New Testament outside of the Gospels. So he was an important figure. He wrote an incredible amount of revelation and doctrine for the church today. He's someone that walked with God, and that, you know, if you had to talk about someone that has a legacy, I would say that Paul probably has an incredible legacy. He did some incredible work for the kingdom. And I think that, you know, when anybody has a desire to do the Lord's work, as you begin to pursue that, you know, you kind of start a way and then you sometimes finish a way a little bit differently to the way that you start. And it's what happens to you in that journey that'll affect, obviously, the way that you finish. And this evening, I want to encourage you about finishing your race strong. And we're going to go to a passage of scripture. I'm not going to be really long tonight, but I believe that this will definitely speak to somebody tonight. We're going to be going to the book of Philippians. Now, before we start, I kind of want to give you a little bit of an idea where we are in Paul's timeline. Most scholars believe that this was written in around 62 AD, somewhere around 30 years after Paul had encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. So he's no longer a baby Christian. He's mature. He's done a lot of things. In fact, this is one of the last letters he wrote, probably the 3rd last or 4th last letter that he wrote. So this was more towards the end of his journey, written probably on his 2nd tour while he was traveling. He wrote this letter to Philippians. And he starts out, let's go to Philippians 3, verse number 12. We'll just go dive right in. I want you to see the way he writes. He says this, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He starts this by saying, not that I have already attained. In other words, he wants you to know that he has not really attained something. He's saying that I haven't already attained something. He says that, or that I am already perfected. So he realizes that he's still very much on his journey and that he hasn't really achieved perfection. He's not really someone that's attained so much yet. Now, in our minds, we might think, well, this guy's done a whole bunch already. But he wants us to know that he doesn't feel like he's already attained or has already perfected. And then he says this. He says, but I press on. And this terminology is used to describe someone that is still plowing. So he's plowing, but he's plowing on. He's decided that he's at the point in his career walking with God, in his journey walking with God, that he is still pressing on. He says that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. In other words, he's saying, listen, I haven't perfected anything yet. I haven't attained perfection yet, but I'm still pressing on. I've still got a ways to go. And my mind and my eyes are focused. I'm pressing on. I'm moving forward. I'm not being distracted by anything. I'm not looking back. We'll see, he's going to say that in just a moment. And that he's busy moving forward. And he says this, which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. He says that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid a hold of me. In other words, he's saying, listen. He says, I'm busy doing what God has called me to do, but I haven't attained everything yet. There's still stuff for me to do, and I'm definitely not perfect yet. I haven't achieved perfection yet. He says, but I'm pressing on, and there's something that I need to lay a hold of, and that I need to lay a hold of is that God has laid a hold of me. In other words, I'm not there yet. There is still stuff that God has for me that I have to complete. God still has a work to do in me. That's what Paul is saying. Listen, Paul glowed in the dark people. Paul was like the apostle of like amazingness, okay? And he's saying, listen, I'm not there. I haven't arrived. I've still got a ways to go. I hope that I can lay hold of what God has also laid a hold of me for. In other words, let's say this is the plan of my life. I'm on my journey. I don't think I've arrived. I don't think I've achieved everything. I haven't received that I'm really still seeking after. And I hope that I can lay a hold of what God has laid a hold for me. There's still things he wants me to do. There's still a journey that he wants me to go on. I'm not there yet. This is what he's saying. He's in absolutely no way in this piece of scripture bragging about anything that he has done. In fact, it's completely the opposite. He wants to let us know that he feels that he's at a point right now where he's realized that what he's achieved is nothing outside of everything that Christ has done in him, and he still wants to lay hold of everything that needs to be done. He says this, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. In other words, apprehended means to lay hold of. It means to seize everything. So he's again trying to let us know, I haven't seized it all. I haven't finished my race. I haven't taken a hold of everything. There's still a whole lot for me to do. And he's also letting us know at the same time that he doesn't feel like he's achieved everything. Are you with me? He says, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I love this. Now, when we read this, the first thing we do is we'll go like this. Yes, God, there's still stuff you want me to do. I've got a ways to go. And Paul says, listen, forgetting those things which are behind. How many of you in this place know that you're not going to be able to move forward if you keep looking back? That you have to, in order to get to where God wants you to go, there's some things you got to let go of. There's some things you've got to leave behind. There might be sins that are holding you back. You got to let them go. You can't keep looking back at how you used to do this and how bad you were, and God's not going to use you because of the way you were. You have to look forward. Some of you have done things, some of us have done things in our past that we're not proud of. And we think that God can't take us to where he wants to take us because of what we did. I remember when I got saved right in the beginning, I used to believe that God had given me a clean slate and that I better not mess up now. Because if I mess up in any way now, I'm going to lose the anointing. I'm going to lose the call of God. And I tell you, I struggled for a really long time. because I really believed it. And I believed that when I made a mistake or two, that it was over. And my world came crashing down. And I thought, that's finished. God can't use me anymore. I'm a sinner. And I was. So you have to be able. Paul's saying, listen, forgetting those things which are behind. And if you look at the life of Paul, there were some things in his past that there is no doubt he wanted to leave behind. He was a persecutor of the Christians. He'd made a lot of mistakes. When he started his ministry, he was reckless in some ways. Very fervent and passionate, but not schooled, not disciplined, not trained. Hadn't gone through the motions yet. And so he got kicked out of places in the most unbelievable ways. And only years later, when hands were laid on him by the apostles, did him and Barnabas really go and start his ministry. Years, years, years later. But up until that point, it wasn't easy for him. So he's saying, forgetting those things which are behind. But here's the interesting thing. I don't believe this is what he's talking about. I don't believe he's talking about what he did wrong. I think he's talking about what he did right. You see, what happens to us in our journey, sometimes while we're walking with God, what happens to us is we get to a place and we go, it's time to take stock. Look at what I've done. I've led so many people to the Lord. I've done so many good things. You know, last week I prophesied and it came to pass. And you know, I did all of this and I did all of that. So he's basically saying, forgetting those things, because you must understand, look at the context. I haven't arrived yet. There's still things that God wants me to do. It's time that I stop looking at everything. Yes, perhaps some of the wrong, but I also think he's saying I've got to also stop looking at what I've done right, because I haven't attained it yet. Are you with me? I haven't arrived yet. You have to start somewhere, right? So yes, we forget about the things we've done wrong, but also don't get to the place where you think you've achieved so much that you don't need to do anything more. Many times people come and they go, I was being in ministry a long time, Pastor. I'm just going to sit now. Just going to sit. 2 years go by. You know what? I'm sitting. I'm sitting. You know, what I used to do. And I hear you, brother. But if Paul the Apostle, who writes 2/3 of the New Testament, wants to tell us near the end of his career that, listen, I haven't attained it yet, brother. I haven't fulfilled everything that God has laid up for me yet. There is still work for me to do. I don't have time to sit and look at what I've done. I can't look back and think about how I did this and how I went to Rome and how I went here and how we had revival. I can't sit and focus on that. I've got to keep on pressing on. I've got to keep on moving forward. I've got a goal. I've got a plan. There's things that God wants to still do. And I can't sit and gloat in everything that he's done in the past. And maybe now I should just take a break. Listen, there is no more time for breaks. There is no more time for breaks. If there is a call of God on your life, you were not called to break for long. Amen. It's time to take up the call. If you study the life of Paul, he didn't take too many breaks. Now, I'm not saying you can't take a break. Just make sure it's short. Because God's still got some things he wants to do in and through you. Well, you know, Pastor Alex, you could have seen me back in the day. I don't care what you did back in the day. I want to see what you're going to do now, brother. Come on, God's got some things he wants to do in you now. God's got some stuff he wants to use you for now. God's not finished with you yet. If he was finished with you, you'd be dead. You ain't dead yet, so he's still got some things planned for you. He still wants to do a few things in and through you. So don't be someone that's always looking back and going, well, you know, gee, you know, I think I need a break. I think I need a vacation. You know, from doing the work, stop looking back. Stop telling us. Stop thinking about it. Stop looking at it. There is still some things left for you. So he tells us, Paul says to us, he says, I love it. Let's go to verse 13. But brethren, I do not count myself to apprehend. In other words, I have not laid a hold of it. I have not grasped it all. I have not seized it. That's what it means. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Because sometimes if we get so stuck in what we've achieved or what we've done wrong, we simply do that, get stuck. So Paul's saying, let's not look at the past, what we've done right, what we've done wrong. Let's move forward. He says, and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. The word reach means to strain towards. In other words, you are so focused on what God still has planned for your life that you are straining forward. You are reaching for it. You don't have time to look behind anymore at the wrongs, at the rights, at the achievements, at the failures. You don't have time anymore. Now you're at that point where all you have left to do is stretch forward, strain forward, to look forward to what God still has planned for you. He says, reaching forward to those things which are ahead. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize. Everybody say prize. I want you to know that you can do a lot for God, but there is still something that is worth fighting for. That there is a prize that God has laid up for you. How many of you want that prize? If you didn't raise your hand, we'll pray for you. Amen. There is a prize. There is a goal. There is a plan. There are things that God has prepared for each and every one of us. And I don't know about you, but I desire with all of my heart to really take a hold of what God has for me. It's interesting here because he says, I'm pressed towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. The word press in the Greek means to pursue, to chase, to hunt, or to strive to. So in other words, with all of his heart, he has a desire to go after this goal, this prize that God has for him. And he recognizes that between the prize, the goal, and what he has to do, and getting there, there is some time between that. And that's why he's completely focused, because he knows what the end result is. The prize, the goal. So he's trying to seize all of what God has for him. You see, he's done all of this. It's wonderful. But he's at this place where he's saying, I can't look back at that anymore. Now I have to look forward. And when I look forward, knowing that there are some things that God has laid up for me, I'm going to try my best. I'm going to climb into it and pray that the Lord will help me to do it. He says, I stretch forward and all I desire is to achieve that goal at the end. That prize, that goal. How many of you want that? 1 Corinthians 9:24 says this, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. He's saying, listen, there is a race. You must run that race like you are the only one who can win that prize. He's not saying it because you are the only one, because you won't be. But the fact is, he's telling you to run it that way. Run it with all of your heart. Don't look back. Don't look at the things behind you. Look at what God has planned for you, what God still has in store for you. And if you're not sure about what that is, look towards the prize. And everything he brings in your way, put your nose down and press in and do it. Can you say amen? Run that way. Run as though you are one going after the prize and the only one. I want you to try and understand the way that he's writing is to try and cause you to understand the urgency of what it means for you and I to not just be, listen to me, a nominal Christian. You were not called to be nominal. You were not called to be standstill. You were not called to be on a break forever. You are called to run a race. How many of you know what happens if you're running a race and you take a break? There was no plan to talk about taking breaks tonight, just so you know. All right. Let's go to Colossians 3, verse number 1. The other thing that they say, oh, you know, I'm mature. I don't need to go to church anymore. It's very quiet now. Watch the language in this. He speaks about something so powerful yet. He says in Colossians 3, verse number 1, we're going to go back to Philippians, but I want you to see how he talks about this. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things, watch this now, which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. He says, set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. You see, the problem with us as believers, not you, because you guys glow in the dark, but other people that serve the Lord, you know. What happens to us is that we get so earth-minded. Now, I'm not saying that you can't be earth-minded in the sense of having to do your job, take care of your family, plan and live life. But we are so consumed by everything going on here that our minds are not on the things of heaven. Let me put it to you this way. I heard a great example of this. Imagine if you were investing in the stock market. When you invest money in the stock market, a lot of money, what are you going to do every day? You're going to check it. Why? Because that's where you've put your investment. You see, what happens with us is we're not putting our investment in heaven, so we're not checking in every day. Are you with me? And so he's saying, I want you to be heavenly minded. I want you to be checking in there because there is a goal. There is a prize for you in heaven. That prize, that goal, it way exceeds anything that this earth can offer you. But the problem is we're not thinking about those things. We're thinking about everything on the earth, which is natural for the natural man. But you are not called to be the natural man. You are called to be the spiritual man. You are called to be the one who's like Paul that says, listen, I haven't attained it yet, but I press towards the goal. There is still stuff for me to do. I got to get to the end. I've got to finish my race. Come on. That's what we are called to do. Amen. Amen. It's amazing how he writes the same way in so many different places. But now he's about to share something with us that is really powerful, because he's about to show us what the prize is that he's after. Now it's quiet in Vero Beach. He says, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him, listen to me, in glory. Well, what does that mean? That means that in the end, which is really actually the beginning, you will be in glory. You see, when you die, now tomorrow we'll be talking about life after death, but I'll give you just one piece. Is that okay? When you die on the earth now, not you, but people, they die and they go to heaven, but they do not receive their glorified body yet. They will only receive that when he comes and he calls us. First, the dead in Christ will rise, and then so will everybody else when he comes again, right? That's when you get your glorified, that's when you receive glory. There is a power that will take place where you will receive a glorified body. Your old body, this body, won't matter anymore. You'll get a new body. And Paul is saying, listen, he said, that's what I'm after. This is what I'm looking forward to. Most of us are sitting and going, what's so great about that? Everything. Why? Why is it so important that you get a new body? Because one day, God is going to create a new heavens and a new earth. And you will not be able to live there unless you have a body. So He's going to give you a new body so that you can live with Him in eternity, in the new heavens and the new earth. That's incredible. That's a promise that Paul understood. And if you look at the way he talks, he's telling us that, listen, I'm busy on my journey, but I haven't attained that yet. So I've still got some things to do. He's saying that, listen, that's the goal. Now, there are other things that God will give you, but Paul's saying, listen, nothing else really matters, because I'm going to rise. Like He rose, I'm going to rise. And because of Him, I can do it. Okay. You'll get it in just a moment. Let's keep going. Let's go back to Philippians 3:13. Watch what he says. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Then let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. In other words, he's saying, listen, if you're a mature believer, you should have the same mind as me. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. In other words, listen, you may not get it now, but you're going to eventually get it, because this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. He says, nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. What mind? Heavenly minded. Thinking about the things of heaven. Desiring to do the will of God so that we can eventually get ourselves to a state of glory with Him. Unbelievable. Brethren, join in the following. My example. And note those who so walk as you have us for a pattern. He's saying, listen, he says, I want you to do just as I have done. I want you to model after me. I'm your example. So if he didn't want you to do this, he wouldn't tell you to model after him. He's telling you this is the right way to walk. When you get saved, you have a relationship with God. You serve Him. You walk with Him. And when you begin to fall in love with Him, your greatest desire will be to be with Him and to understand that not only did He die for you so that He could forgive you, but so that He could save you. And one day you would live for eternity with Him and you would be given a brand new body. You would rise again with Him. He says, follow my example. Verse 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping. Listen to this. This is powerful. He's telling you now with tears in his eyes. He's saying that they are enemies of the cross. He says many walk, many Christians, many of those who have served the Lord, they walk. He says, but they have become enemies of the cross. Why are they enemies of the cross? Let's go to Matthew 16:24, and I'll explain to you why. Jesus said this. Jesus then said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will follow it, will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, what he's saying here is that what happens is we become enemies of the cross because we take for granted the blood of Jesus. Yes. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. But even everything I have done is only because of your grace. And I can't gloat in what I've achieved and what I've done because it's only because of your grace. And now I have to continue to press on. And what do I have to do? I have to continue to pick up my cross. And anyone who teaches you otherwise is an enemy of the cross. If grace teaches you to not deny, something is wrong. If grace teaches you not to pick up your cross, something is wrong. Well, you know, I can just be saved and live forever and just do my thing. Okay. He's saying, listen, there are going to be many people that will come and teach you all kinds of different things. But follow my example. If you don't want to listen to what I teach you, look at what I did. Look at how I lived. Follow my example. And if you do that, then you know you're going to be doing it right. Don't become an enemy of what Jesus achieved on the cross by thinking that now, because of what he's done, that you must just do nothing. It has nothing to do with legalism here, in any way at all. And then he says this. Let's go back to Philippians 3 to see what he says next. You guys okay? Amen. Come on, God's not finished with you. He's not finished with me. Hallelujah. I'm so grateful. He's not finished with me. Oh, Jesus. He says, let's go to 18. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now look at the context. Whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. In other words, they didn't focus. They had no desire for anything heavenly. No desire to fulfill the purpose and plan of God. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also watch, eagerly wait for our Savior. Paul, listen, at this point in his career, is like, Lord, I know you got stuff for me to do, but if you come, praise the Lord. You see, when you really have a relationship with Jesus, you will understand that there is nothing bad about his second coming. You will understand that there will be no more suffering for you. That your family will not have to struggle anymore. You will understand that when he comes to collect us, everything is going to be incredible. The trumpet will sound. And everything will shift and change. And Paul's saying, listen, I'm looking so forward to that. I've got all of this to do. But that's the goal. Don't become an enemy of the cross. That doesn't recognize that you also have a part to play. Well, you know, you don't understand grace. And I understand grace perfectly. Because it's grace that empowers you. It's grace that gives you the ability to get up and pray. It's grace that gives you the ability to ask for forgiveness. That's grace. But grace is most certainly not doing nothing. You were not called to do nothing. Jesus did not say, go into the world and make converts. He said, go into the world and make disciples. Amen. And disciples never stop doing the work of the Lord. I'm sure they take vacations every now and then. But then they get up and they carry on. Are you with me? I'm almost done. He goes on. Let's read verse 20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Watch. Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things to himself. There is a day where this fallen body will no longer exist, and he will give us a new body. There is a goal, there is a prize, and that is it. One day you will receive your inheritance. And the best part of that is this new body. Because you see, the truth is you'll have nothing to boast about. Because everything that he does in you is him in you. So Paul understood this. That's why he didn't want to look back at his achievements. That's why he wanted to continue to press on. And he recognized that the goal was just to get this body so that he could live with the Lord forever in eternity, in a new heavens and a new earth. Your final destination is not heaven. Your final destination is the new earth and the new heavens. And the heavens will come in, they will be like one. It's going to be amazing. That's your destination. Stop being so focused on what you can build on this earth and start building what God has for you in heaven. Well, how do I do that? Press on. Don't give up. Let him take a hold of your life. Turn to him. Don't look at the things of this world to give you pleasure. Get your pleasure from the presence of God. Get your pleasure from what he can do in and through you. There is nothing like the Lord using you. There is nothing like encountering his presence. There is no healing like the healing that comes from heaven. There is no peace that comes like it comes from his presence. There is no joy that comes from when you're in the presence of God. There is nothing like that.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.